Good, please take your seats. We're going to continue with our series this morning. Everybody okay? You know what I say? Thank God for relationships. Come on, thank God for relationships. It's just, I want to say that because I feel that relationships are so important. You know, God has made us a relational family. Understand that that God wants us to be together. That He wants us to create some things together. It's okay for you to smile or to shout or to walk out if you don't agree, but someone say, yeah, I can see that. Relationships, I want to tell you, are a big, big deal. Don't let anybody tell you that they're not. And you know what? You must be careful with relationships. They are a potent, powerful thing for good and for bad. And for anywhere in between. And we've been looking at all things relationships over the last few weeks. And firstly, I just want to thank Steve Matthew and Siobhan and Rachel for sharing such wisdom and gold over the last few weeks. Come on, give it up for these guys. Let's appreciate the gift that we have in the house. And we're looking at this subject of brick by brick. And I just want to start by reading and just familiarizing you with the scripture that we've had as our foundational scripture in Ephesians 2 verse 20, where it says this: God is building a home and He's using us all. Turn to the person next to you and say, that includes you as well. Let me tell you what the Word of God says, irrespective of how we got here in what He is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation, and now He's using you. Tell Him it's you. Tell Him it's you. Fitting you brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all of these parts together. We see it taking shape day after day. A holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, and everybody said, thank God. A temple in which God is quite at home. God is happy that you are part of the family today. And as I open up this morning and try and just fit in all of these things that I have to say in the relatively short time that I have to say it, I want you to understand that the key thing here is the importance, the power, and the potency of relationships in our lives. Today I want to speak to you, amongst other things, about relational capital. Everyone say capital. I want to speak to you about relational capital. And we've been looking at this with the illustration of Lego bricks, hence brick to brick. And so I didn't want to be left out this morning, and I don't know if the camera can just pan in on that table to see my creations today. I need you to know that you might not think, oh dear. I need you to know that you may not be impressed with the way that I build Lego, but you've got to understand that in our home we brought up four daughters who were more interested in Barbie dolls and spicing up their life. So understand, this is been awesome for me. I built these myself. What do you think about these creations? And so I'm going to be relating to those things that I've built in a few moments' time. But one of the things I wanted to start with and let you know is this whole idea of Lego bricks. I didn't know this. I discovered something this week. Is that the smallest Lego brick that you can get, of course, is one. I don't know if you can see that, whether you can pan in on that, is one. How many know what that thing on the top of the brick is called? Say? It's called a stud, actually. And It's not on that one properly, but actually there should be underneath there, which there is on... No, there isn't on that one either. We're doing well here. Oh, there is on this one. How many know what they're called on the bottom of a Lego brick? They're called tubes. So you have studs and tubes. Now, the interesting thing, of course, with Lego is that there are many different colors, different sizes, different shapes. You know that if you're into your Lego. The smallest brick is a 1. And the largest brick, I understand, that you can get is a 16. Now, besides astounding you with my knowledge about Lego bricks that I looked up on Google this week, I just wanted to use that as an illustration of the fact, and here's my point. In Lego, there are bricks with different capacities. Here's a 16, here's a 1, and there is a 2, a 4, a 6, and so on and so on. And so they're all shapes and sizes, and they all have different levels of capacity. And I think they are very similar to us. I think when we speak relationally, some of us have many tubes, if you like, for connection. 16 maybe, and maybe just 1. Understand, this is not wrong, this is just different. It's about capacity. And I just wanted to say this, that whatever your relational capacity, all of you are designed for connection. This one piece of Lego was never meant to be on its own. I threw it like that because I saw someone else throw them the other week. This 16 was never meant to be on its own. So whether you're a 1 capacity or 16 or anywhere in between, you were designed for connection. You were designed to be part of something bigger than yourself, and you were never, ever meant to be in isolation. You were never meant to be a person in a crowd that's on your own. Understand, every one of us, whether you're not relational in the sense of, I only have 2 tubes, I can only cope with 2 people in my life, or I can cope with 100 people in my life, you were never meant to do it on your own. You were always meant to be something bigger than just yourself. So let me tell you quickly about relational capital. Relational capital, I've put, is this. It's relational capital is what you carry in your life. It is almost like what your assets are. What your life is made up of. It's the thing, relational capital is the thing that you bring into a friendship. It's the thing that you bring into a relationship. If you like, the assets that are you for investment into others. Whether that's relational, whether that's spiritual, whether that's intellectual, whether that's physical, whether that's financial. All of these things are part of who we are and what we bring into our relationships. Does that make sense? And here's the deal. Relational capital creates relational equity. Understand this. That there is a buy-in and there is a payout in all relationships. And we want our relationships to be healthy, don't we? We put stuff in, which is our relational capital. The thing that we get out is relational equity. Relational equity is simply this. It is the interest accrued by the investment that we put into relationships. If you like, the shares. It is understanding that we have shares within the relationships that we make. Does that make sense? And so I want to share with you very simply this morning some findings of a guy called Edward T. Hall. He did a sociology study in the 1960s. Does anybody remember the 1960s? And Edward T. Hall, he did this study, and he talks, so here's his findings. He talks essentially about 4. Everyone say 4. he talks essentially about four life spaces. If you like, relational spaces, social spaces. And he did this study on how we interact with these different spaces in our life. And this is where we develop friendships. This is where we develop relationships. And I thought it'd be, I was interested in this, thought it'd be quite, kind of cool just to share them with you and maybe put a church context also in there of what this could look like. Is that okay? Interestingly enough, when we speak about these four life spaces, I looked and saw that, interestingly enough, Jesus was engaged with all of them. And so if we want to be Christ-like, if we want to be disciples of Jesus and we want to be relational with one another, understanding the power and the potency of relationships, I thought we maybe just need to unpack this and just look at what they are in simplicity to help us today. So let's take a look at them. Everyone say space number one. I believe that as I read about this guy Hall that did this study, he calls this space the crowd. Everyone say the crowd. He calls this the crowd. And so understanding that this social space, this life space, can contain hundreds or even thousands of people. Here is my representation of the crowd. I wonder where you are right in that space. That represents the crowd this morning. And so it can consist of hundreds or even thousands of people. Let's call it, because we all like food, let's call this the banqueting space, yeah? So remember it as the banqueting space. Now, let's be honest. I don't think that in a space of hundreds, as we have this morning, or thousands of people, that we are going to make deep and meaningful relationships within this space. I think that's pretty clear. However, what I want you to understand this morning and where this guy is coming from with his study is that in this kind of space, in a very large crowd, that relational connection usually comes around a common interest. So we may not be kind of involved with one another. You guys may not know these people over here. Some of you may just know a few people, but you're not going to have deep and meaningful relationships. But we look at a common interest. For example, a common interest. For example, 70,000 people in a stadium in Madrid. All of them watching Liverpool win the Champions League. Notice what I said. The Champions League for the sixth time. And everybody said, thank you for your underwhelming support. And so, relationships of this size and far bigger than this can be, the association and the connection can come through a common interest. It can come through a common cause. How many know our common cause is Christ himself? That all of this stuff and all the things that we do are around this common cause of bringing the good news of Jesus to the world. It's a common cause. Sometimes even a common belief. You know, maybe following, maybe thousands of people following a political party. Don't even get me started. Now, let me tell you about this space, because this is really important, and I want you to get hold of this. This space that I am now telling you about is simply this. It's about knowing your tribe. You've got to know your tribe. And let me tell you, all tribes are not the same. All churches are not the same. Understand, it's not like pick any, they're all the same. They are not the same. And I'm saying to you that in relational connection, in this kind of building that we are seeking to build together and blocks being connected and built one on another, you've got to know your tribe. I put this, it's about knowing what we stand for and who we stand with. You see, Jesus modeled this. We haven't time to go into the story, but if I just throw a couple of scriptures out there to you, Matthew 9, verse 36, it's the verse where it speaks about Jesus when he saw the crowds. He was in the crowds. How many know Jesus was in the crowds? And it's when he was in the crowds and he looked at them, and it says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he invested relational capital into the crowds. Now, in a church context, let me finish on this space by simply saying this. Let's look at our gathering now. Let's look at the people in this space. Let's look at this social, spiritual space. Let me tell you that this space carries a great level of community. When we're together and we are full on worshiping Jesus, when we are lifting our voices, whether we can sing or whether we can't, when we interact with God, there is an incredible sense of spiritual community that comes. Don't you agree? But let me tell you, this space for relationship is not enough. That you turning up, even if you turn up every Sunday for this gathering, which is incredible, and I encourage you to come, that level of relationship on its own is just not enough. And if you want true connection, then you have to engage beyond this space. How many know that's true? How many know that's true in your own life and experience? The second space, everyone say number two, here's the second space. How many know that seems like a smaller space than that first space? I want you to see that. I'm now showing a model for the sake of the podcast of a smaller construction, actually quite good construction by Belfield Builders. So the second space, if the first space was about the banqueting space, I want to say to you that this size is more about the dinner party. You can understand that. It's about the dinner party. See, Jesus refers to this relational space in Luke chapter 10 when he speaks about the 72 disciples. I'm going to let you read that for yourself. But he talks about these 72 disciples. And usually this space that I'm now speaking about, this space number two, is usually consists between 30 and 70 people. There's no kind of magic in that number. It's just around that kind of social space, the dinner party kind of size. When you go to a dinner party, maybe between those kind of numbers. Now, hear the difference between this space and the one that we just spoke about. You see, if the crowd, everyone say the crowd. If the crowd was about knowing your tribe, then this space is about knowing who you're purposed with. So you have a space where you identify with, you know your tribe, but then if you want more deeper kind of relationship, you've got to know who you're purposed with. You see, you can come along here every Sunday, you can be involved at this level, but who are you purposed with? This space is about who you're purposed with. This is about growing in relationships and investing relational capital towards a specific purpose, like family on mission. Understand that that's what I'm speaking about. That if we look at the cause of Christ and we look at why we gather and we look at all the vehicles that we use to get us to where we need to go towards God and to win this world for Jesus, understand that there are some purposed relationships that need to happen. That it won't just happen by us coming, singing our merry old way and having a glory time on a Sunday morning. But there is purpose within our relationship. And this is about knowing who we are purposed with. These are purpose-filled relationships. You see, when I speak about the 72 that Jesus chose, do you know what he did? He sent them out. There were 72, and what he did, he would send. So on his ministry tour, when he, in investing his relational capital into the crowds, into life in people's lives, he would send these 72 out that would almost like prepare the way for him going. They were purposed together in relationship. Jesus wants us to be the same. How many know that's true? So I wonder what this space looks like in a church context. I just want to be practical and say, do you know what? If we believe that relationships are personal, public, if we believe that they are powerful and potent, we need to understand where we plug into them. It's really important. And so in a church context, you know, I couldn't think of anything greater in the sense of this size and this social space than saying in a church context, it looks like a serving team. Think about it. Think about the size of some of our teams that operate to make stuff happen, not only on a Sunday, but throughout the week. This is about purpose-filled relationships, building something together on purpose for a great purpose. You know, I think that when you plug into a serving team, when you plug in to that kind of purpose, there is relational capital that we put in, but there's relational equity that we get back. That there are benefits in that. You know what? We grow in relationships when we plug into serving teams. Do you know that? So you can come in a crowd and say, do you know what? I'm kind of in this crowd and I enjoy it, but I don't know anybody. You know what? You need to plug into a serving team. If you want to build relationships and more meaningful relationships, you need to get off the chair. You need to go and speak to someone and get involved. I believe this is a great way of developing relationships and growing in them. If you like, I wrote this. It's community coupled with a cause. Community with a cause. There is no greater time for you to plug into this than next week, because we have what next week? We have Expo. And all our ministries, all the people that are purposed together to build more than just a Sunday, but to build the kingdom of God, they're going to be here in different areas of this building next Sunday, and they're going to be sharing just what they do. You need to get round those spaces, and you need to ask some questions and think, where can I fit? Where can I serve? Where can I build some relationships? I encourage you to do that. Let me tell you what that will do. This will give you a greater proximity to some. Simple thought. The reason that some of us are not growing and we're not growing together, we're not kind of being built together. Here's the space, 30 to 70-ish. The reason that we're not is because we are in a crowd in isolation. We look like that one brick, but then in the middle of the crowd. Look at that. You even fell out the crowd. Right in the middle of the crowd. How many know God never designed us for isolation? Never designed us to be an island? Never designed us to just come and go, to feed and go, to not be involved? God created us to be for a purpose, on purpose, and never to be alone in that task. It brings you proximity. And so if the second space is a dinner party, then we have to say that the third space, everyone say third, we have to say that the third space is definitely the dining table. How many know, unless you've got a very, very large dining table, you're not going to get that many around it. It's a different level of social space. And so we have a banqueting space where there can be thousands of people that we're connected into. We know our tribe. We can have a space that is like almost like a dinner party where there's, I don't know, 30, 50, 70 people where we know we are purposed together to perform and to bring some things to pass in Christ. We know that stuff. It's really important. It's a place where we grow relationally. And we develop in relationships, where we put in relational capital and we invest and we build up spiritual equity. We build up relational equity. I hope this makes sense to you this morning. So if this second space is about the dinner party, the third space is definitely about the dining table. Jesus had this and modeled it in his life. There were 12 people that Jesus did life with. It's a different level again. He did life with them. This space is about the 12. Don't hold me to the number. Oh, I've only got 11. I need another. Don't hold me to the number. I'm just giving you different sizes, different social spaces. But Jesus had his 12. The first one is knowing about who your tribe is. The second one is about knowing who you're purposed with. Then this third space is about knowing who you are journeying with. Now here's another level altogether. You know, we can serve with one another. We can have a proximity to so many and then go and do our thing. How many know that God wants us to journey life together? He never wanted you just to be a brick on your own. And so here we are. There's a representation of the 12. I do believe if you count that, there will be 12 blocks on there. Don't hold me to the number. But it's a different space. You understand, he's a very large space. He is kind of a space of about 50 people, and then here's a space of about 12 or around that kind of number. I mean, you know, it's a different kind of social dynamic that goes on in a group of 12 than in a group of 50. So understand that we need to be journeying with people. And so if this is metaphorically around a table, and I know sometimes it is, sometimes it may not literally be around a table, but you get what I'm saying. If we are around a table, then when there are 12 of us or when there are just a smaller number of us together, it is going to be a more vulnerable place to be. Do you know, it's in our vulnerability very often that we grow. When we are in those vulnerable spaces and we've got to open up a little bit more and we share a little bit more of our journeying in life, that we develop in relationships. We develop in our relationship with Jesus and we develop in our relationship with one another. It's a really critical space. This one is often ignored. I don't need that. That is too open for me. I can't do that. I'll serve on a team. I can have proximity to a few and I can go in the crowd. I can go in the banqueting space and have a good meal in Jesus and go home. No, do you know what? The dining table is a really important space. So around this table in vulnerability, I think the interesting thing is when we have that kind of number, generally speaking, everyone is engaged. And because there's engagement, there's an opening up. And the wonderful thing about being engaged and opening up is that this leads to a point where we are engaged together, but we also go through stuff together. When trouble cometh. when all of that stuff kicks off, where do you go? Well, I would expect the pastoral team to come and visit me. We ain't got one. What are you going to do? Let me tell you, this is about relationships. This is about the church being the church. This isn't about a group of professionals leading and running the church and running after you when you feel bad. This is about having friends. This is about knowing who your mates are. This is about knowing who you can trust. This is about knowing who you have invested relational capital into, and you have built up relational equity that comes to the fore when you most need it. That's how it works. It's how it works in the financial world. It's how it works in the church world. Now, we don't do it for that. I don't kind of think, oh, who can I make friends with? Like, let's see who's got the most intellect, because I want that in my life. It's not about that. That's not the reason we do it. But you know, it is the result of us relationally investing into someone, into a group of people. It has a payback. So journeying with people. And in the church context, let me say, one of our vehicles and one of our really important vehicles for this space looks like community groups. That's the space. It isn't about this program. Oh, the church do this program, take it or leave it. This is about relationships. This is about growing and journeying life together, encouraging one another, you know, challenging one another. In times where we're a bit kind of, oh, take it or leave it, we need a group of people around us who'll maybe say, do you know what, if you just... Or will come up to you and put your hand on your shoulder and they will say, I believe in you. Who will journey life together, who maybe in their own life have some experience, you know, some intellectual, some spiritual equity that they have that they are just waiting to give to you. That's what these things are about. Never about, are you going to community group this week because we went last week? Or I don't need this anymore in my life. I want to say it's so important to have that space. Jesus interacted with this space. He had the 12. You know what? There were times where the disciples were so cheesed off. Jesus was there. He was investing relational capital. He was their friend. You know, they were purposed together, but he cared about them. So he cooked them fish. Come on, guys, come and get some fish. Like Jesus was interested in that. Yeah, because he was interested in the people. He was trying to journey them. He was trying to disciple them, if you like. There was a journey. I know so much of this goes on in our church community, and I don't want you to miss out on this. If you want to journey in relationships, then the dinner table is where you intentionally do it. I encourage you to check out our community groups today. Get plugged in. Finally, this space number 4, and I finish very quickly now. This space number 4. Everyone say number 4. He is my building of this space. For those on the podcast, I am currently holding up a Lego wonderful masterpiece of 3 blocks. This is a different space. How many know this is different altogether? You know what we could do here? It won't work, but we're going to try it. You know what? If this is working right, we've got these spaces. It's almost like they would fit on top of each other. Come on, Tubes, help me out. I didn't try this before, by the way. This is just spur of the moment. Oh, dear. Do you know, if this works, and this looks like church life sometimes, doesn't it? Falls to bits a bit. Oh, dear.
I'm going to stick with those Barbie dolls, I think. All right, look, we're going to do it like that, all right? You can put the camera on there, and here's that other space. Do you know, our lives can look like we're connected, and like Jesus was connected in all of these four spaces, we can be the same. And if we're going to develop in relationships, and we're going to journey with people, and we're going to be purposed with people, and we're going to celebrate the big stuff together, let me tell you that this fourth space is absolutely crucial, because if you understand the banqueting space, you know, is about knowing your tribe. If you know that in reality that the dinner party is about knowing who you're purposed with, and if we understand that the dining table is knowing who we're journeying with, then this fourth space has got to be about knowing who you're intimate with. Understand. It's knowing who you are intimate with. And of course, I'm speaking on a social understanding and a social level here, just in case you were getting the wrong idea and thinking it was a dating agency. This fourth space is knowing about who you're intimate with. Let's call this space, we have the banqueting space, we have the dinner party, we have the dining table. Let's call this space the midnight feast. Because you know when you're a kid, and some of you are big kids and still have midnight feasts. Thank you. You know what? To your midnight feast, unless you're that lone wolf, you'll only invite your very best mates to your midnight feast. You know, if you like your besties, is that still a word? It's not going down that well. You'll only invite your best mates to that. Let me tell you what this space is about. This space is a space that you can bear your soul. Do you know it's important that you have a space like that in your life? Some of us get into the place where we are because we don't have this space. There are things that we want to share with people and we need help. And not things that we would share with a larger group because, how many know it could be all around the church by next Sunday? In fact, no, let's not leave it that long, just this afternoon. That there are certain spaces for certain things. And understand it's important that we have this space in our life that, you know, Jesus had this space. He had his three. He had his 12 and he had his three. They were very close to him. Jesus modeled this for us. A place where you bear your soul in relational trust. This may include a best friend, may include a spouse or a parent. But we all need this space. As I finish, let me tell you this. As we invest our relational capital, the things that we are, the person we are into others, that's our capital. As we invest our relational capital into all these spaces, we build up equity. Some of you know what I'm speaking about right now. You've been doing this for years and you know you have equity. Some of you all over the world. Some of you in this nation, some of you in this town, some of you in this house, in this church community, but you have built up equity. You didn't even know you had equity, and you have built up equity, not because that's why you made friends, but actually through your giving of your relational capital, through your investments, you actually have mates. You know that when you're in trouble, you know you have people who will get around you. You know that you have people, even when you're not asking, who will invest into you. Because you've built up, through your relational capital, you have built up much interest. It's called relational equity.
So when we build our capital into these spaces, we build up equity. Basically means, one, we have actually friends to call on. We can benefit from their spiritual wisdom, that spiritual equity. We can benefit and build up physical equity when we need help. We can build up intellectual equity. We can call on people who have the knowledge that we don't, because we're friends. We have relational friendship, and including financial equity. You see, relational equity is the payoff for the investment of relational capital. It's not why we do it, but it's there. It's not the reason we do it, but it's there. Understand that it's there. I'm going to pray now. Let's stand together. Let me tell you just before I pray, don't be a lonesome Lego brick. Don't be it. You can tell them all you're part of TCC. Don't be a lonesome Lego brick. It can look like you're connected, and you can be far from being connected. You can be that standalone Lego brick in a crowd that's all loose in the crowd, and not be connected, and not be building with them, and not have relational capital in there. And I'm telling you, with whatever relational capacity you have, no matter how many studs and how many tubes you have, and you decide, I want to say how many you have, invest them. Invest into relationships. Because you were never, ever designed for isolation.